An old friend of mine is in studio now, Miriam Sobe. Miriam is a broadcaster here in Chicago, but she's well-known as well as a comedian, an actress, writer, and she has a new show at Second City called Headscarf Above Water, which is tomorrow night, the final show. It's directed by Kim Schultz, who also has a long career in improv and comedy and also a refugee advocate, and we're going to talk more about that. But first off, pleasure to have you in studio. Miriam Sobe. Good to see you.
Thank you
so much.
It's been
a long time.
Yeah, it has been a long time.
When's the last time we saw each other? I feel like it's been at least 5 years.
Yeah, I was going to say about 5 years.
You look great. Good to see you.
So do you. But you know what? We stalk each other online.
That's right.
So time has not gone by.
Like everything, it feels like Instagram sort of keeps us in each other's lives. This show, and I remember you going through Second City and the conservatory and all to make your way into theater. You've been continuing to do that. What is this show, Headscarf Above Water? Why go back to Second City?
I think it's a culmination of just all these years of trying to put stuff together and learn and just finally, I mean, I don't know how else to explain it, but just to put my story out there. So you go through these programs, you have ensemble work with other people, but your voice isn't there, right? You have to work and collaborate and cooperate. And sometimes you're like, I want it to be about me. So this is my chance to showcase my story and what I'm about. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding surrounding me. I'm not saying I'm some famous celebrity that people know who I am and they're talking about me. But in general, in my life, I found that there's just so many different sides that have put this idea of who you are, and I wanted to share my story.
And there's not too many places in comedy, especially here in Chicago, where the Muslim American experience is on stage. And you know, I think that you'll see tours that come through and other people who might be stand-ups in other places. But and a lot of times it's guys, you know, sort of on a tour. But to be a Muslim American woman, to tell your story, it is a unique story, one that is not heard in this city.
Yeah, I think the uniqueness of it, hopefully we'll get people interested. and that's also kind of why I wanted to share my story, is because people might see me and be like, oh, is that some Arab woman or whatever? And I'm like, you don't really know my background. Or they'll be like, did you convert? Did your husband force you to convert? I'm like, no, I'm actually just an American woman who happens to wear a scarf on her head. So I don't know.
Yeah. Kim, how'd you get involved in this project?
A good friend of ours put us in touch with each other, knowing that I was a director and working with refugee community and Muslim community as an advocate and a friend. And so we met and decided to start working together.
Your background, and we could do a whole hour on your background, because you have spent time in improv and comedy and you came to it that way. But you, in developing a show, you spent some time in the Middle East and in Iraq and other places, and really was able to come back and put a show on off-Broadway and really sort of become an advocate because of what you learned and the experiences you had, particularly in Iraq.
Yeah, I'm primarily an actor and a writer, comedian and storyteller, and was invited under those auspices to go to the Middle East and meet with Iraqi refugees about 10 years ago. And we're in Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria. And they wanted somebody who had comic sensibilities to be able to share these stories to an American audience that I hadn't really heard none of them at that point 10 years ago. So I was very honored, and I kind of fell into the refugee advocacy, and in that turned into interfaith work for me, because a lot of times it is connected to religious bigotry and anti-Muslim phobias. And so that kind of is the world that I'm in now, while still keeping my comic sensibility. So you can imagine meeting Miriam, what a find she was, because it is a rare thing to have a hijabi, a headscarf-wearing Muslim-American comedian, female comedian, and who's willing to share her story and do so vulnerably and also, obviously, comedically.
Yeah, right.
So we decided to start working on Headscarf Above Water together.
The show, which is at Second City and Judy's Beat Lounge, is tomorrow night. That's the final show. It's been a two-week run. Miriam, what do you learn from show to show? When you're putting together the show and you do it the first time and you have reactions from jokes and other sort of things that you learn about backstage and pacing and tempo, how do you apply what you learned last week in such a short run to what you're doing this week?
Well, I think definitely it helps that I have a director to whip me into shape and be like, next time, don't forget that joke.
She skipped a couple of my favorite jokes and I said, don't do that.
Yep. It's gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean, when you're in the moment, sometimes you're trying to get through it. And for me, coming from the broadcasting background where I have to be on time specifically, I was like, what time is it? You know, I didn't have my watch, and I need to hit these spots. And I kept thinking, like, am I too short? Am I too long? So this time I'm going to take my time, relax, think more about the content that I want to put out, and think about the parts where people got the laughs, where I got the laughs from folks, and like maybe just kind of punch it up a little bit.
And what I told her, too, is not to be afraid of those other moments, because you can't have a show called Headscarf Above Water in 2019 in the country that we live, in the political system that we're living under, and not discuss what that means to wear a headscarf underwater, above water.
There are some waterproof ones.
I do that often.
Miriam, that's a great point. I mean, you have to kind of balance your story and the jokes that you tell with the expectations of what people are coming to see. Mm-hmm. When you know, it's a funny take on the title Headscarf Above Water, but you come out, you've got the hijab on, you're a Muslim American woman who is telling your story. There are expectations of what an audience expects to see.
Yeah, I think it depends on the audience. So for me, I'm always more worried about the Muslim community than I am about regular people. Well, they are regular people too. But I mean, my people, the Muslim community, they can be quite cynical or judgmental, especially if you're coming out in a scarf. They're like, you're representing the community. You're representing us. We need you to be like pure and like nothing sleazy. You know, they get worried about that. And I'm like, well, sorry, I'm just going to say what I want to say. And so for me, over the years, I've had to kind of let go of worrying about what they think and say, this is my story to tell. These are my experiences. And maybe you can learn something from my life and realize that maybe you're just judging me in the wrong way.
That is just something I didn't even think about, that the relationship with the audience differs and what the background of the audience is. Do you find yourself having more connection with a Muslim audience or with an audience that is non-Muslim that's coming to celebrate your ethnicity?
I think it's a mix. I think, it's a mix. But I think I personally feel like I connect with the mainstream audience, and that's who I'm kind of trying to target towards, because they don't know my story and my background. The Muslim community, they get some of my jokes, but I had that reminds me of like when we were writing some of this stuff, it was too insider and I had to like flush it out and like, oh, I have to make this for everybody.
And I think the show really does speak to both a Muslim and a non-Muslim audience in a very, I think, special way, because more often than not, it'll be only for, you know, non-Muslim audiences, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is something in this show for people of all religions and no religions.
I also try to speak to the fact of like when you're from a mixed background and there's two different sides to you and you don't know where you fit in. So I think some people can relate to that, whether you come from a similar background or not, just like, where do I fit in society and in the times that we live in? Like, I don't see myself. So I'm just trying to navigate that and let people know, you know, you're not alone. I feel the same way.
Miriam Sobe is here along with Kim Schultz. That Kim is the director of Miriam's one-woman show, Headscarf Above Water, which is at Second City at Judy's Beat Lounge tomorrow night. The show is at 7?
9.
It's later. Oh, look at you. You're keeping those late night hours.
Well, we gotta watch what we say. 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock hour. 9 o'clock hour at Judy's Beat Lounge, which is on the second floor at Second City at Piper's Alley. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back. We'll continue the conversation with Miriam Kim here on Extension 720. Stay with us. Extension 720, rolling along till 10 o'clock tonight here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Headscarf Above Water is the one-woman show. Miriam Sobe, you may know that name. She's a broadcaster here in Chicago. Some random station. I won't really get into it. Kim Schultz is her director, as Miriam is on stage at Second City's Judy's Beat Lounge, which is on the second floor there, the complex that they have in Piper's Alley. You mentioned right before the break, Miriam, just this concept of, you know, trying to, you know, when you try to identify with audiences and trying to find your space, how difficult is that in comedy, being a Muslim American woman who wears a headscarf, to fit in with a pretty white dude dominated comedy world here in Chicago? I mean, it is, Second City has done a lot to diversify itself over time, but it still is a majority mainstream experience is a white man experience.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think times have certainly changed. Like when I started 10 years ago taking improv and doing all that stuff, I definitely felt out of place. But I think now, 10 years later, things have taken a dramatic turn. People want this fresh new perspective and different voices and diversity, that buzzword. So I feel that now it was just the perfect timing, and it's more well received than if I had tried to do this 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Kim, how do you deal with that, like, as a director, to make sure that Miriam's voice is pure to her and not affected by the way that mainstream culture would consume or push her in one direction or the other?
I think my job always, whether it's my own material or someone else's, is to help hone their voice so that it is her being truthful from her voice and her experience, and not really worried about anything else. I mean, like I said earlier, I think this show really speaks to different types of audiences, and I think that is Miriam and her writing and how it connects with people.
You know, and just based on some of your comedy, and you have it on your website, but I've also seen some of you are not shy at poking fun at the Muslim experience. Mm-hmm. That's a big part. So how do Muslim audiences react to that? Like, I was thinking about the video that's on your site about the birds and the bees. You know, this
which
concept,
you get a sample of in the
right,
show,
right, but
too.
I would assume, but this idea of dealing with taboo or even dealing with sex and, mm-hmm. and issues that may be taboo in the Muslim community, how are audiences responding to you being more free with that sort of joke as opposed to maybe the community is?
I think people actually enjoy it. I mean, so far I've only gotten positive feedback. There are a few people that'll be like, oh my gosh, why are you saying this? You're a naughty woman, you know, but like, who cares?
Yeah, it's so funny. I mean, the stuff about what the Muslim person would not say about sex or about how babies are formed. I mean, it's so funny. And you can see the audiences recognizing the truth of it.
Right. And I try to compare it to, like, it's not just the Muslim community. Anyone who's super conservative, any faith background, they have the same exact hang-ups. And so that's the funny part is, like, we always look to someone else like, oh, those Muslims are so conservative. I'm like, yeah, but I can tell you the same thing about my ultra-conservative Christian friends who have had the same sort of childhood
right,
growing up.
Right, right. And also, you know, you have to, I would assume that you would, you know, you obviously are taking on stereotypes, Muslim stereotypes, but at the same time, you know, there is this Muslim stereotype that we have, especially when it comes to headscarves and what we think of, I guess, the sort of mainstream approach to that. Mm-hmm. Is that played out in the show? Do you kind of try to tear that down, this idea of what people think of? You kind of made joke of it at the beginning just about, you know, when they see a woman with a headscarf on, you know, they're I don't know if they're scared, but they're like, oh, that's different, and they're unique.
Yeah.
So you kind of play off of that fear or that not necessarily knowing what that means.
Yeah, I mean, for sure the whole show deals with it, and it's funny because I think I was trying to shy away from it, and Kim was like, this is the title of the show, you need to talk about it.
Yeah.
And it's been such a therapeutic, like, release to finally be able to just talk about it and make fun of it and make fun of the things that people have said to me over the years, even in this industry, you know, like, yeah, maybe we won't talk about that.
And what it is to wear a headscarf today, and mm-hmm. and what those experiences are. And she makes jokes of it, like, not she offers to take off her headscarf as a joke to make people comfortable because of how she shares how she first put on her headscarf. So mm-hmm. there's these light humor, humorous moments that.
Mm-hmm. Where do you think that comes from? Why do we have any sort of hang up over women wearing headscarves? Is it just about the stereotype?
I think so. I mean, it's I don't even know where it comes from. I mean, it's just something, like, I grew up, like, I remember as a child seeing people say things to my mom when we'd be out, you know, calling her a terrorist, telling her to go back to her country, and she's American. I mean, she converted to Islam in college on her own.
Lines from the show.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like, it's for me, it's just something that I grew up witnessing around me and not understanding why this was happening or where it came from. But I think there's just so much misunderstanding, and possibly some of it came from the immigrant Muslim community that came to the United States and didn't really want to, I don't want to say assimilate, but there was maybe some sort of
didn't want to give up their cultural ideas,
right? And so they didn't know how to, like, interact with people, and there's different factions. Some people are like, no, we need to just, like, be with our community and make sure that our kids aren't going to, you know, start doing sex and drugs and doing all this stuff, and so we got to, you know, kind of keep insulated. And now I'm losing my train of thought.
No, but you're right that maybe that has something to do with the fact it's on both sides, where there wasn't a lot of intermingling, if you will, because of the cultural, obviously the cultural differences. But because of that, here we are with a stereotype of not really knowing each other.
Yeah. And we know now that, you know, what we're facing today is just a fear, misinformation, and hatred bias towards brown, black people, regardless, Muslims, immigrants, refugees, all of this. So why does this happen? We can go back in time and, you know, list all the various historical reasons, right?
The headscarf play, it's just an interesting thought in that, that it is coding in this way, because if you're wearing a headscarf, it, you're probably Muslim. If you're Muslim, then that could mean a number of things, from the hate, from rhetoric that's been passed down from leaders and from and political factions in this country. So there is, I mean, there's not every single, you know, person who walks on the street has identifying markers like a headscarf. So there is automatically this this idea that you're different just because of what you're wearing.
Right.
But I always like that you just kind of call it out for fashion.
It pretty much is a fashion statement.
Yeah, right?
I don't have much hair. But, you know, and I think one of the other reasons why there's so much misunderstanding is, like, in our mainstream media here in the United States, you don't see a Muslim woman with a headscarf. We're supposed to be like light years ahead of like all these other countries who have already done that. Europe, there are plenty of women with headscarves who are on television, and it's normal. And for some reason here, it just can't be done. It just cannot be done. It's never been done and never will be done. That, those are the kinds of things that I've been told, and I don't understand it.
And you don't see it on stage either. And that's for actors playing other roles, and that's never, you never see that.
Right, and that's kind of why with this show, it's like now I get to put it in my hands, I'm in control, and I'm going to be out there in your face, okay?
I love it. First you will dominate and take over the stages of Chicago. Then you get you on TV in front of everyone with your headscarf on, and you will change all the
norms. I need a Netflix special, if anyone is listening.
Headscarf Above Water is the show. It's written and performed by Miriam Sobe and directed by Kim Schultz. They're both in studio tomorrow night, 9 o'clock, at Judy's Beat Lounge at Second City, right there in Piper's Alley. Check
just
it out.
Just a few tickets left.
Just a few tickets left. Mm-hmm. Great to meet you, Kim. Great to see you again.
Likewise.
Congrats on all your success, both on stage and on broadcast. And let's not wait 5 years to see each other again.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for being here.